Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, December 19th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. And happy birthday, JJ. It is his birthday today, says Skype. It is a chilly 14 degrees and extremely sunny with a blue sky here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off on Friday? We have done a series of about 6, 8, 10 plus shows on this 21st Century Cures Act. We titled the show Biotech, FDA, 21st Century Cures, Mental Health, Gun Control, and HIPAA. We connected a lot of dots together looking at the technologies that are about getting ready to be rolled out all in the name of 21st Century Cures. This 21st Century Cures Act that passed with flying colors, bipartisan support across the aisle, slimy palms, butt patting, palm rubbing. We discovered that a majority of Congress are millionaires, and a large number of our Congress members are invested in health and biotechnology. So it is not a wonder that this full-out giveaway to biopharma, biotech, isn't going to be beneficial for everyone all the way around. But then when we started digging into the text of the act itself, and that is posted out on congress.gov, it is called the 21st Century Cures Act. And we discovered that there was a section that actually talked about tracking individuals and tracking neurological conditions. We had also found out that Obama, back in January of 2016, put through an executive order that got rid of some of the HIPAA protections, all in the name of Sandy Hook. He had called that out back shortly thereafter when he gave his speech in response to Sandy Hook. He talked about that pesky HIPAA, those HIPAA regulations getting in the way of allowing doctors to report concerns to the appropriate authorities if they felt that there was a concern on their part for you owning a firearm. Well, back in January, Obama inked an executive order we discovered that would allow now providers to show the identities of patients that are now prohibited from owning a gun for one reason or another for some sort of mental quote-unquote deficiency. Remember, something that we've talked about in looking at these disruptive technologies, 21st Century Cures Act is kind of the culmination of all this crazy stuff that we've talked about, the live gene editing in humans and artificial intelligence. We have Dr. Watson and Dr. Smartphone getting ready to take the world by storm. We have the Brain Project and being able to create synthetic brain, have AI do deep learning, mimicking the brain and the way the brain learns. They actually are teaching AI to now learn on its own. We saw Google's translator app was able to do that. We have cloud learning being developed at MIT, swarm learning, Baxter robots. We have robot googly eyes. I just think it's funny because who would even think like putting a camera on a computer would literally be giving it one of the five senses, but it sure as hell is, especially when it has a brain now that can start learning on its own. Of course, we have robot ears, which is the microphone. Robot touch. Well, DARPA's working on that with prosthetics, all in the name again of fixing the vets that they sent over into warfare, that they all, again, all of our lawmakers and all the big corporations made bazillions of dollars on out of the weaponry that was required to supply those veterans overseas. But, you know, what other senses do we have? Taste? Smell? Well, we know we already have smell-o-vision. What was that thing called? Cupidal, for anyone in chat who can remember that Oh, the nose, the electronic nose. What was it called? Rode would know. The Smellinator? No. But it was way back when we were just worried about police brutality and not utmost takeover by the machine and the merging of men with nanobots. What was it called? We were just worried at that time about police, our loss of rights, maybe them being able to tell when you had been smoking an illicit substance at a distance, but they had this electronic smelling tool. Well, now with biosensors and a lot of the research that has been done after 2001, after that whoops, anthrax quote unquote attack that came from U.S. strategic anthrax stores, mind you. I don't know, Tim Kelly had a guest on. I had dug into this myself way back when, but Tim Kelly had a guest on at some point this year. I don't know, my timeline is off, but somewhere in 2016, if you search in blah, 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 Our Interesting Times, that's the name of the show. Tim Kelly in the playlist on UCY TV on YouTube. You will see something in there about either 9/11 or anthrax attacks or bioterror. That's one to definitely listen to. But back at that time, they were having a full-out orgy all in the name of keeping us safe. If you remember, that's when I think it was Chertoff also got his naked body scanners into the airports. They were using that millimeter wave, some of the stuff that now is coming back around. And I still have stories upstairs in my notebook that talk about this new second coming of the technology and what they've been playing with in the labs. But this is some of the stuff that they're actually going to integrate into this global connectivity that they're working on now that uses a conglomerate of 5G and millimeter wave as a booster. But in the future, we had also read that DARPA, not only have we done shape-shifting immune systems that they're working on and shape-shifting antiviral, anti-intrusion, anti-enemy shape-shifting immune systems for the internet, they were also looking for project bidders and shape-shifting frequency gear. If you remember, they wanted to get rid of bandwidth ownership, FCC bandwidth provisioning, the way they do it now. If you want to be able to broadcast on traditional terrestrial airwaves for radio, let's say, you get a frequency, and that frequency, they have maps all over for all the different towers, and that frequency, depending on what band it is, AM, FM, UHF, even your ham radio, you get a frequency that is yours. You didn't buy it, but you rent it, but it is allocated as part of a spectrum for a certain usage. So, there's the emergency bands, and I don't know, there's a guy actually that I went to high school with that Prepper Chick used to have on. She knew him somehow, and he was really into radio, and he knew about all the bandwidths and whatever. I should touch base with him because I still have the connections to get in touch with him. Bill, I think his name was. Yeah, it was Bill. I wish I could get Bill on to talk about frequencies. But one of the interesting things about this now is that DARPA was looking for proposers to answer. I don't know if it was an RFP, request for proposal, or if they were just looking an RFI, request for information. They were looking at doing the shape-shifting allocation of communication bandwidth, which of course would take us the next step into technocracy above and beyond everything that's happening now. We see this whole fake news mantra that is still spinning. And today happens to be that fateful day. I'm not sure if it's happening or not, but I think it is. With the Electoral College casting their vote, there's been this whole push now for those electors who are in states that allow, sort of, kind of, on the back end, with maybe just a bitch slap and a fine, those electors to vote against what the popular vote was in their states. So today will be a very telling moment in history as to what our future timeline is going to look at. Today is one of those crossroads that I know, you know, if you're just kind of chasing that dangling carrot, you're paying attention to all the distraction all over the place. And Christmas. Remember, Christmas trees and elves on the shelves. And cocktails and horse doovers. That is what the holiday season is all about. And that's what they're betting on for all this crazy stuff that's going on. And trust me, this is like on a daily basis now. For anyone who, as you're getting older, at least in my life, I have found that there are critical moments when I've looked back in retrospect in my life that taught me to begin to utilize that inner voice and that self-restraint that, you know, as a youth, you typically don't have. You tend to be impetuous and just go out and do things and then deal with the consequences later. But you realize eventually, after being bitten many times, that, you know, that probably isn't the best course of action. So you sort of reel it in and assess the past to try to come up with better decisions in the future. And I've discovered that there have been definite times in my life where I've been standing at a crossroads. And the more thought, the more future thinking, past thinking that I put into the situation, the more timelines I look down before I jump, the better that decision is in the end. And, you know, I'm pretty positive at that point that I made the only correct decision. And, you know, the scary fact of the matter is that as all of this technology is spinning out, we are all distracted. And 2017 is about ready to hit us in the face. We have Obama going rogue. We have the FBI and the CIA contradicting each other. Now, of course, it's all pasted over. Yeah, nope, nope. We were wrong. FBI backed us all up. And if, you know, and one thing that's interesting, if you look at that FBI-CIA thing over the Russian hackers and the fake news, and they're swaying the election, mind you, they've really spun this yarn up big and sticky. You look at all that, and you look at how now Clapper, because that was Clapper, if I'm not mistaken, Clapper is stepping down, and Comey. Comey, who actually said a few things during that trial, or whatever it was, hearing that they had on Hillary Clinton's servers and, you know, whether or not she was guilty. I watched that whole thing. Guys, C-SPAN is a gem. Just so you know, just because there isn't someone narrating what is going on, if you could spend an afternoon kicking back with your feet up watching one of the investigations on C-SPAN from Congressman, you just learn some dirty ass stuff. And I mean, there is testimony that is given that you will never see those sound bites again. But it is just so amazingly telling. And Comey, at one point during that investigation, had worded, oh, I don't even remember what the whole gist of it was, but it was something in regards to whether or not Hillary Clinton was guilty. And he never, ever, ever said that she was not guilty of breaking any laws. What Comey said was that he did not believe that a prosecutor would be able to win the case. And for whatever reason, I mean, they had asked whether or not she would be, if somebody else in her shoes would be prosecuted and she wouldn't. And they agreed that, yes, because it was Hillary Clinton, and not, in not so many words, but this is exactly what it translated out to, just because she was Hillary Clinton, she was not going to be prosecuted. But here we are now, that same group, that group where Clinton just like everybody was bought and sold. We had the mainstream media, who is now the ones that are parroting this fake news mantra. Now we have the DNC trying to connect Trump to Putin, to hacking the election. When we find out, there was a story, I think I mentioned it on Friday, saw Claire Burness wrote a story or two on it in regards to Georgia and the hacking of the Georgian voting system. And they determined, their IT department determined in all 10 cases, it happened to be the Department of Homeland Security that had hacked their systems. And they then approached the Department of Homeland Security. And as of Friday, I haven't looked at it this weekend, they had not received a response yet as to any reasons that they had been in the back end of their system. So how interesting is that? We talked about a lot of the internal cyber patrol centers, part of Keith Alexander's new cyber army to conduct 21st century wars in cyberspace. They discussed that a long time ago, how a hack attack could potentially be considered an act of war. Well, guys, we have gotten so beyond that. That war isn't just on the rest of the world. Anybody we decide to pin the tail on that donkey, who's going to be the new donkey on the chessboard, to be deemed a terrorist, to have evidence manufactured against you. This is what we're seeing right now. And as we've looked at now all these new things that they can do with super resolution imaging and unlimited computing in the cloud, amazing high speed, real time streaming in or out for data and images. I mean, guys, we are at a level right now where they can monitor, they can manipulate, they can insert, delete across the spectrum. And they're getting ready to start this next phase of conquering these different kingdoms, the kingdoms of Earth, right? We had the nature kingdom, kingdom of animals, kingdom of plants, kingdom of insects, now the kingdom of humans, the kingdom of digital, kingdom of the brain, the kingdom of microbiology, and then even stretch that microbiology to include our bodies, right? We found out like all these microorganisms, just so amazing. The total control that they have over us as an organism, like gut bacteria, totally 100% affects our bodily systems, our brains, our chemicals. They want to conquer the kingdom of our DNA, the actual makeup of the building blocks of life. I mean, that's literally where we are, and be able to manipulate and control that. You know, CRISPRing the TARDIS is what it's all about. Uploading you to the machine is where they want to imprison you. You know, frequencies, I don't want to get too off track because I want to get back to the brain, but this is still connected. Frequencies are very important to all of this. And that's a nut that maybe we should really push on cracking for 2017. Because it's analog versus digital. It is waves versus zeros and ones. And there is something that keeps taking me back. Your brain works in different frequency spectrums. And the higher the frequency spectrum, the more alert you are and the higher level thinking you have. I mean, that's not voodoo science. That's real science. You can look that up. And, you know, we've discovered that different devices put our brains into different wavelengths of consciousness. When you're watching the television, you get into that, and I don't have them in front of me right now, so don't quote me on any of this, but into this beta, theta, whatever, delta. They have all these different frequency levels. And when you're in that lower, I think it's like the third tier down, there's the one that's the super one that puts you in like that brain burst when you have those eureka moments. And then there's the one where we normally are awake or full awake state. Then there's that one that's kind of the semi-awake, semi-asleep state where you're in a very suggestible state of mind. that makes you vulnerable to things that are put in there. And that, I think, is a state that the deep state, the state that is trying to bring all of these dots to one focal point to make this technocratic society where everybody, everything is going to be part of the Internet of Everything, monitorable on a dashboard. What we discovered in this 21st Century Cures Act, that there is a whole section on surveillance of neurological diseases, if you remember that. Let me refresh your memory in case you missed on Friday. So this is where we're going to kick it off today. National Neurological Conditions Surveillance System. Part P of Title III of Public Health Service Act is amended by inserting after Section 399S the following. Section 399S1, Surveillance of Neurological Diseases. In general, the Secretary, acting through the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and in coordination with other agencies, as the Secretary determines, shall, as appropriate, 1. Enhance and expand infrastructure and activities to track the epidemiology of neurological diseases, and 2. Incorporate information obtained through such activities into an integrated surveillance system, which may consist of or include a registry, ding, 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 to be known as the National Neurological Conditions Surveillance System. This is in the 21st Century Cures Act that got inked by Obama last week. Now, guys, we were able, through a couple publications, that one in particular was out of the Connecticut Post, Connecticut being important because it is ground zero for Sandy Hook. And then we connected that to January 2016 executive order by Obama to get rid of some of the HIPAA rule in regards to background checks for firearms. But now, even add to all of this, this House bill, that, let me see where it is. I think it is on the way. I don't know which clickety click would give me that. I don't know. We'll look it up after. It's called HR 4919. I mentioned this on Friday. The official name is Kevin and Avante's Law of 2016. HR 4919. Was introduced in the Senate December 8th, 2016, which happened to be the very same day the 21st Century Cures Act went to Obama's desk for inking, just so you know, to amend the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994 and to reauthorize the Missing Alzheimer's Disease Patient Alert Program and to promote initiatives that will reduce the risk of injury and death relating to wandering characteristics of some children with autism, being enacted by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled. This act may be cited as the Kevin and Avante Law of 2016. It may also be cited as the Missing Americans Alert Program, ding, 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 Act of 2016. They literally change some words here. Yes, here we go. Listen to this. Reauthorization of the Missing Alzheimer's Disease Patient Alert Program Amendments, Section 240001. Of the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994 is amended by 1. In the section header, by striking out, quote, Alzheimer's disease patient, unquote, and instead inserting, quote, Americans, unquote. Like it literally says that. And two, by striking subsection A and inserting the following. Quote, grant program, so this is a grant program, to reduce injury and death of missing Americans with dementia and developmental disabilities. And, you know, here's one of my takes on all this. When they say things like dementia and developmental disabilities, realize that that is an ever-evolving list of quote-unquote mental defects. And they even used that term in one of the documents we were reading on Friday, a mental defect. I think that was actually in the 21st Century Cures Act. And we've been talking about mental defects, imperfect humans, humans who are swayed by emotion to make bad decisions. You know, that's, if we ever get there, guys, I must have like 7 stories now stacked all about this next election and all the things that happen now and, oh, how we screwed up and how it was our puny human brain, our puny human emotions, our bad, bad, bad decisions that we've made as a society over the last few generations at least. And how 21st century technology and artificial intelligence in particular will be able to get us out of this conundrum. Just give it all up to the machine and it'll take care of it all, Johnny. Don't worry about it. And you humans can be dosed. You could be fixed. We can cure you like the $10 million man, except with the, exponential pace of technology accelerating. And every year, it gets 100 or 1,000 times more powerful than it was the year before. In that straight-up curve that we are on now, Kurzweil's coming singularity, we're at a point that if we don't stop this train today, we're not going to be able to get off it. It's going to be going too fast. You're going to rip your face off when you hit those pavement or the pebbles down below. So this is a grant program to reduce injury and death of missing Americans with dementia. Again, that ever-evolving list of what constitutes quote-unquote dementia or developmental disabilities. Who's going to be making that definition? Will it be a brain scan that'll be looking at your neurons firing? Boop, boop, boop. They can already scan all kinds of stuff out of your head, pull out your thoughts, read your micro expressions. You know, this is a very frightening time, guys. We have given senses to the machine. The machine is way better at humans for doing anything and everything just about. And if it's not quite yet, it will be. Back to this HR 4919. Subject to the availability of appropriations to carry out this section, the Attorney General, and this is this finding and tracking missing Americans with dementia and developmental disabilities, we have the Attorney General through the Bureau of Justice Assistance. And in consultation with, yes, that very same group that is involved in the 21st Century Cures Act, the Secretary of Health and Human Services shall, one, award competitive grants to healthcare agencies, state and law enforcement for local agencies, public safety agencies, and nonprofit organizations to assist entities in planning, designing, establishing, and operating locally based proactive programs to prevent wandering and to locate missing individuals with forms of dementia, such as Alzheimer's, or developmental disabilities, such as autism, who, due to their condition, wander from safe environments, including programs that A, provide prevention and response information, including online training, referrals of families or guardians of such an individual. due to their condition who wander from a safe environment, provide education, training, blah, blah, blah. No, wait. Provide prevention and response training, emergency protocols for school administrators, staff, family, or guardians of people with dementia or developmental disabilities to reduce the risk of wandering. To recognize and respond to and appropriately interact with endangered missing individuals with dementia or developmental disabilities who, due to their condition, wander from safe environments. Now hold on. We're going to scroll down because this was a long document. All right. So you get down like three sections and it goes through. And I mean, all I'm saying is, yeah, I mean, there is a problem. You have Nana kind of wanders off, or you have Johnny doesn't know any better. And whoop, all of a sudden he runs out the door Saturday morning because you weren't up at 6:30 and he beat you to the punch. But how far can this potentially go? You know, as we have software that is able to diagnose, quote unquote, mental disease by a smart application, as well as physical disease, you know, all in the name of keeping you safe, Johnny, you got a heart problem. Let's get you to swallow one of these smart pills so we can monitor where you are and what you're doing. And if you have an emergency, it's the new medic alert. Just tap your heart. It will be there in an instant with a medevac drone. It's pretty nutty. Look at the sound of your voice may diagnose disease. There's been long talk in medicine about the need to listen more to the patient voice, and now it is being taken literally. Academics and entrepreneurs are rushing to develop technology. This is Dr. Psychiatrist's smartphone. Develop technology to diagnose and predict everything from manic episodes to heart disease to concussions based on an unusual source of data, and that would be how you talk. A growing body of evidence suggests that an array of mental and physical conditions can make you slur your words, elongate sounds, or speak in a more nasal tone. They may even make your voice creak or jittery so briefly that it is not even detectable to the human ear. It's still not absolutely clear that analyzing speech patterns can generate accurate or useful diagnosis, but the race is on to try. And yeah, the race is on to try. We actually saw one of the things that they were talking about was the ability for translation programs to be able to be useful doing real-time diagnosis of voice patterns. And they only needed like, 20 minutes of your voice, they said, to actually duplicate your voice so they could edit, insert, delete, insert, anything that you said. They can even use your inflection patterns, whatever. But we have Google with their translation service. That was the AI back end. I think they're using DeepMind on that. That was actually able to come up with its own language to translate between languages it had never seen before. Well, now Skype's real-time translation is also able to do some amazing things. Skype is expanding the availability of its real-time translation feature, and this is of ownership by Microsoft. Integrating this tool with calls made to mobile phones and landlines, so Skype is tied to everything. Skype is able to do real-time translation using some very high-end deep learning technology, multi-layer. And there is some mega CPU power behind that. Don't think they're not capturing that information. Well, if they can run a diagnosis algorithm against that, they'd be able to bag and tag every single one of us. And not just Skype. I mean, I talked about on Friday, you got your cell phone, got your landline, you got your photographs out there. They can even diagnose different things about your mental health from just the makeup off your face and the points of your ears. I mean, there's all kinds of things. It was an Israeli company. Determine whether or not you're a genius or a terrorist just by the genetic makeup of your face. We even have motion sensors. They could tell whether or not you have road rage. And ECG wrist monitors. They can read your emotions. They can scan your head and be able to suck your thoughts, suck out your dreams. So let's add to all this now. This bill, whatever it was called, this scanning all Americans, or whatever it was called. Hold on. This is like so hard because it's way up the top. The Kevin and Avanti's Law of 2016 that they changed to the Missing Americans Alert Program Act of 2016. Of course, it's for Alzheimer's, dementia, autistic individuals, so they don't wander away and get themselves lost or hurt. But listen, there is a section in this bill under privacy protections, section 302, titled Standards and Best Practices for Use of Non-Invasive, so you don't have to bend over for that one, and non-permanent, oh, phew, you can maybe go in front of a judge and get it taken off, tracking devices. Yes, I said it. Standard and best practices for use of non-invasive and non-permanent tracking devices. The definition above for non-invasive and non-permanent tracking device happens to be non-invasive and non-permanent means with regard to any technology or device that the procedure to install the technology or the device does not create an external or internal marker or implant a device or other trackable item. Well, phew, it's not time for the implantable microchip yet. Thank goodness. But listen to this. These are every single one of these definitions in this section. A child is anyone who is less than 18 years of age, an Indian tribe, and they do mention the Indian nations in here, which is interesting. So they are going to get our sovereign brothers involved as well. You're causing too much trouble up there at that Dakota Access Pipeline. We are going to come after you and be able to tamp down a mental disease. And oh, by the way, part of this 21st Century Cures Act is also about addiction, guys. And of course, they're talking about opioids. But don't think that they aren't going to go after things such as alcohol and cigarettes. That's going to be the big screw on you. For the Indian Nation, you know, at least here in upstate New York, that's where a lot of them, plus the casinos, which, of course, gambling is another addiction. Ding, ding, ding. All with that dopamine button. And they study a lot about dopamine in a lot of this brain research. They also define law enforcement agency. Means an agency of the state, a unit of local government, or Indian tribe that is authorized by law or a by government agency to engage in or supervise the prevention, detection, investigation, or prosecution of any violation of criminal law. The state, of course, is any of the 50 states, plus D.C., plus Puerto Rico, plus Virgin Islands, American Samoa, Guam, and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. Those are all included in this H.R. 4919. Unit of local government as well is involved. Unit of local government means the county, municipality, town, township, village, parish, borough, or other unit of government below the state level. And then, of course, what does non-permanent and non-invasive mean? Well, it is a surveillance device that will not leave an external or an internal marker or be an implantable. So, all right, our standard best practices for use of non-invasive and non-permanent tracking. One is the establishment. In general, no later than 120 days of the enactment of this act, the Attorney General, so disturbing that the Attorney General and the Justice Department is going to be involved in this, guys. Let's turn your kid in. Little Johnny has a tendency to wander. We are now going to make him an electronic ward of the state to be bagged and tagged 24/7. Be tracked like a video game. I mean, honestly, he's going to be a little bleep on some sort of DARPA software that DARPA Dan came up with. Anyway, the Attorney General, in consultation with the Secretary of Health and Human Services and leading research, advocacy, self-advocacy, and service organizations, shall establish standards and best practices relating to the use of non-invasive and non-permanent tracking technology where a guardian or a parent, in consultation with the individual's healthcare provider, has determined that a non-invasive, non-permanent tracking device is the least restrictive alternative. Ding. You're not going to get a choice, Johnny. To locate individuals as described in subsection 2 of section 240001 of the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994 and as added by this act. Remember, guys, this is in the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act, and it's talking about Nana with Alzheimer's and Johnny with autism, okay? That's what I'm saying. That's one of those Spock eyebrow moments where why is little Johnny autism and Nana dementia in the Violent Crime Control Bill? You know what I'm saying? Because they're not a violent crime risk, but the ever-expanding definition of dementia and mental deficiencies is where they are going to use some liberties in their definition of what it means. And this whole fake news mantra and this far-right wing mantra and this trying to convince you not to believe what you are seeing with your own two eyes. Believe what we're telling you from the Ministry of Truth. Believe the story that we are spinning as we are learning all about cracking the secrets of nature. In the name of providing you 21st century cures, we are going to be invading that thing called the brain. We are going to be able to get rid of any of those bad thoughts and tell when you're having them. We're going to be able to put you on a list and track wherever you go if you're having bad thoughts. And we'll be able to monitor you to make sure that your quote-unquote dementia, Johnny, you know, that oppositional defiant disorder on a spectrum that you seem to be having, goes away because you're being disruptive to this new smart society that we are trying to roll out here, all in the name of saving the planet and saving humanity, the evolution of where we need to go. Guys, this is just so frightening. There's going to be no escape from this. They are getting in the back door of everything in the name of healthcare across the globe. Obama's executive order for the National Security Health Agenda or whatever it was back from the early November actually made that very telling. We are going to use healthcare and fighting disease as our new imperialistic tool. And this is for the game, guys. This is for the $10,000 square. This is the daily double coming up. Anyway, these requirements in establishing a standard and best practices required under paragraph 1, the Attorney General shall A, determine the criteria. So it all comes down to whoever the new AG is going to be. The Attorney General shall, and I think it was Sessions they were suggesting. In Sessions, there was some controversy there because Sessions had come out in the past as very anti-marijuana. And so they were questioning if he were AG, how that would affect all these legalized states and if they could turn it on its head. So I don't know. I don't know where that is. I haven't looked at that in a few weeks, but there was a few weeks ago. He was somebody who was on the plate. Anyway, the AG, this new AG, shall determine, one, the criteria used to determine which individuals would, quote, benefit, like how they put this, from the use of a tracking device. Yes. Who would benefit from this? I.e., who are we going to target as being one of our new guinea pigs to test out our new tracking toys that eventually will be rolled out to the population. It even said that in the 21st Century Cures. In regards to this neurological surveillance, it was going to be population-wide. Number two, the AG shall determine the criteria used to determine who should have direct access to the tracking system. And number three, which non-invasive and non-permanent types of tracking devices can be used in compliance with the standards and best practices. It will also be the Attorney General's responsibility to establish standards and best practices that are necessary to the administration of these tracking systems, including procedures to, of course, safeguard the privacy of the data being used by the tracking device, such that access to the data is restricted to, all these definitions at the top, law enforcement, ding, 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 as well as all these big health agencies determined necessary by the Attorney General, and the collection, use, retention of this data is solely for the purpose of preventing injury or death to the patient. Assign the tracking device. It's all for your own good, Johnny. You'll understand someday. This is to stop you from injuring yourself or others. So it's all for the purpose of preventing injury or death to the patient. Assign the tracking device or caused by the patient, yes, to their family or complete strangers, assigned the tracking device. Section 2, 3, I don't know, subsection 2, establish, this would be the AG, establish the criteria to determine whether the use of a tracking device is the least restrictive alternative. Maybe nanobots in your blood would be even less restrictive since you don't even have to worry about it. In order to prevent the risk of injury or death before issuing this tracking device, including the previous consideration of less restrictive alternatives, providing training for law enforcement agencies to recognize the signs of abuse interactions with applicants for tracking devices. How to protect the civil rights and liberties of individuals, what, who use tracking devices, including their rights under the Fourth Amendment. Establishing a compliant and investigation process to address incidents of non-compliance by recipients, ding, of grants under subsection 2, section 240.001 of the Violent Crime Law, Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act 94, with the best practices established by the Attorney General and other applicable law, as well as the use of a tracking device over the objection of an individual. Guys, are you hearing this? To establish an investigation process, to establish the use of a tracking device over the objection of an individual, to provide training for law enforcement agencies to recognize the signs of abuse during interactions with applicants, the collection, use, retention of data for, of course, preventing the injury or the death of the patient assigned the tracking device. I mean, are you hearing this? This isn't about little Johnny or Nana's Alzheimer's. This is about being able, with Tommy Insel now working for Verily, Google's Division of Life Sciences, on how to cure mental health, throwing the DSM out a window. So now there is no book even that we can point to, go, oh, no, look, here's all the signs and symptoms. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. No, let's just make this now an adaptive diagnosis that can be shaped and morphed every time your mood changes, Johnny. Well, today you're showing some signs of schizophrenia. We had you speak into the microphone this morning. So we're going to take care of that. We're going to monitor you for some of those signs and symptoms today, Johnny. And if they continue, we'll have a remedy. And this is very frightening. They can force you. These laws go into effect. And this is just the next step. And thank goodness at the bottom, this is just a Senate bill. I don't even know if they voted on this yet, if it's gone to the House, but this is, oh, actually, I think they did. I think this was passed in the Senate. So its next trip, of course, would be to the House. The very last bullet here in this section was that the Attorney General would determine the role that state agencies should then have in the administration of this tracking system. Voluntary participation, nothing in this act may be construed to require that a parent or guardian use a tracking device to monitor the location of their child or adult under that parent or guardian's supervision. If the parent or guardian does not believe that the use of such a device is necessary, or that the interest of the child or adult, or in the interest of the child or the adult under supervision. So, phew, right now, at the very end of this, the very last item, it mentions that right now it may not be construed to require that a parent use the tracking device if they believe that the use of such device is not necessary. But if they spin this just the right way, I could guarantee you that there will be people that'll step right up for the use of this tracking device that will actually help feed information into the system that will help them then improve some of their future brain research for some of this pre-crime stuff that they're doing. This is where we're going to end it today. Speaking of pre-crime, I ran across a story while I was going through some of my alert emails last night. This is out of Quartz Magazine, QZ.com, under a heading called Preschool Pre-Crime. Ding-a-link-a-link. I've postulated this before, and here it comes. The disturbingly accurate brain science that identifies potential criminals while they are still toddlers. Eugenics, anybody? A caste system, anybody? Getting your kids on CRISPR and some brain cells, anybody? And this is really, really, really insane. Scientists are able to use brain tests on 3-year-olds to determine which children are more likely to grow up to become criminals. I said it. It sounds like a Minority Report come to life. An uncomfortable idea presenting myriad ethical concerns. Oh, no kidding. But though unnerving, the research is nuanced and could potentially put to good use. It is time to reprogram your brain, Johnny. Step right up before kindergarten. In the study published in the Nature Human Behavior this week, this was from December 17th, so 2 days ago, researchers led by neuroscientists at Duke University showed that, I lost my place, showed that those with the lowest 20% brain health results at age 3 went on to commit more than 80% of all of the crimes as adults. Research used from data in a New Zealand, again, New Zealand, guys, this is frightening. New Zealand keeps coming up. I think they've become one of our new mad science offshores. The research used data from a New Zealand longitudinal study of more than 1,000 people from birth in the early 1970s until they reached 38 years old. This distribution of the 20% of the population accounting for 80% of an effect is strong but not unusual. In fact, it follows the Pareto principle. The authors wrote in their paper, in Pareto's day, the problem definition was that 20% of families owned 80% of land in Italy. That's why they called it the Pareto principle. And the study found that that same 20% is considerable demands for the state in other ways. They went on to make up 57% of nights in hospitals, 66% of the welfare benefits, and 77% of the fatherless child rearing. Oh my God, guys. So that those 20% of kids at 3 years old are the ones that they're going to pin the burdens of society on. Are you hearing this? Brain health, which was measured using tests of reflexes, language, understanding, motor skills, and social skills, are not the only indicators of future criminality. Ding, ding. After all, it is widely acknowledged that socioeconomic status and child maltreatment have a major impact as well on adult income outcomes. But the researchers made sure to isolate each of these factors. We took out all the children in the cohort, they use that word again, who were living below the poverty line and reran our statistical analysis. Ding, ding, ding. And got the same kind of effect. It is important to note that it is not as though every individual in that lowest 20% of assessed brain health went on to commit a crime, though it shows childhood circumstances, especially even before three, have a significant impact. The vast majority of people don't commit crimes. People make a choice to commit crimes or not every day. Their other choice can be limited by their brain health, but they still have to make an active choice to commit a crime. So everyone has a responsibility for that. So where do we leave this? Moffitt says one major theory about why a child with poor brain health would commit crimes as an adult focuses on their school experiences. If they can't benefit from school and have that initial bad experience by the time they leave school, they are not well prepared to interact with other government systems like the courts. Ding! They tend to be truant, leave school with no qualifications, be unable to get a job, and sink down into the underclass. Crime is an appealing alternative as a way to make a living for someone with poor brain health. Well, don't worry about it, because our brain activity can now be nudged to make healthier choices for our future. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. Lonnie Clark is live up next. Have an awesome Monday, and I will catch up with you soon.